It's time to greet one another. Say hi. I love you. I miss you. It's good to see you. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Okay, let's open up this time with a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for your presence in our lives. We thank you, God, that you have brought us here today, that we can worship you, that we can hear your word. And Father, I just thank you for all that you do, Lord, in this season of Thanksgiving. Help us to remember why we have to be thankful to you, God, that you have given us your grace, that you have poured out your love in Jesus Christ. And for every student here, every youth member here who has called upon your name, Lord, we give you thanks for their salvation is assured in your blood. But Father, for those who do not know you yet, Lord, and have not personally claimed you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that they would hear these words today. Father, that their lives would be transformed into the image of Christ. And Father, that they will receive the grace of salvation, Lord. I thank you for your mercies. I thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you for just your spirit amongst us, Lord. We ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds as we dig into your word. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Today's lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. Okay, I think we're all there. Let's do an answer-response kind of thing. I'll read the first verse, and we'll go back and forth, okay? And the Bible says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Amen. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Everyone else, amen. Verse 14. "And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go to you because of your surpassing grace God has given you." Amen, amen. So in this scripture, God says a lot here about thanksgiving, about generosity, and what these two are supposed to look like. So we're starting our Thanksgiving season. We have many, many reasons to be thankful to God. But the number one reason that we are thankful to God is because of our salvation. But you see, the blessings that God gives us isn't just spiritual. There's a lot of other blessings that overflow with that. And as God blesses us, he's blessing us not just to meet our own needs, as we just read in Scripture, but he does it so that we can meet the needs of others. And in fact, the more generously we give in Jesus' name, the more recipients thank God because of these things. See, gratitude doesn't just come because we're receiving something, right? You remember the old saying, the old adage, it says, it's better to give than to... Oh, we don't know that one? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. It's a saying, okay? It's called, it said, it's better to give than to receive, right? Do you guys agree with that? Or is it better to receive than to give? Okay. Because the truth is, generosity also inspires thanksgiving. It expresses thanksgiving because it's the one who gives, right? The gift may be grand, the gift may be small, but everything about that gift reflects about who's receiving that gift. So that's why as God gives us, we are thankful to him, but same way as we give to others, others can be thankful to him too. And actually, gratitude translates into more generosity. Yeah, it does. Gratitude translates into more generosity. Let me start off with a story. So there was a church, and in that church there was one family who was in great need. Dad just lost his job. You know, mom was a housewife at that time, and they were having really hard times to meet. Thanksgiving season was coming around, and the church decided, okay, let's have a prayer meeting, okay? Let's go have a prayer meeting to pray for this family. So as the congregation, some of the families got together, they got together to pray for this one family. They started praying, and in the middle of their prayer meeting, a little boy comes knocking on the door of the house where they were having this prayer meeting. And as they open the door, the little boy says, hey, hi everyone, my daddy said he can't come to the prayer meeting tonight. And everyone looks at him kind of funny, why, what's going on, how come daddy can't come to the prayer meeting? He says, well, my dad wanted to put his prayers into action, so he made it sure that his son go tells everyone at that prayer meeting that he's going to bring a side of beef, a bag of potatoes, and a whole bunch of other foods like fruits and vegetables and some jams for the family to receive and to eat, right? Because Thanksgiving cannot be just in our hearts and in minds. Thanksgiving has to lead to action. And if we look at the things that, here's the truth. If we look at the things that we have as something that we earn, it's something we hold on to really, really tightly. Same here. If we recognize that God gave us the ability to make money and to be stewards of that, then of course our gratitude is going to be even more. And this is what Apostle Paul is saying here. And he stresses this principle of grace, giving out of grace. This giving will change your lives. It'll change the way you think. It'll change the way you act. It gives us amazing clarity into our motives and into the principles of giving. Why do we give, and why and how do we give? Because this is the truth. God has reached down to save us by his amazing grace, and that's what it's all about. Grace, this beautiful thing. Because grace emphasizes the beauty, the object is in view. When Jesus says, I love you and I give to you, we got to recognize how much he truly loves us because of the gift that he gave us. And that means everyone that you're connected to, anyone you share your faith with, anyone that you share love with, anyone you give to, brings them into the grace and brings them into the understanding of the beauty and love that's in Jesus Christ. God, in his matchless love, reached down into it when we were still sinners in our sinning state and demonstrated that love for us by dying on the cross in our place. Bible says we love him because he loved us first. It is a response to grace. That's why we give. That's what we do, what we do. This is supposed to be the model for all Christians, for any believer of Jesus Christ. This understanding that he has blessed us, and in his grace and out of his grace, we can reach out and bless other people. See, the ministry of giving is centered on that one beautiful word, grace. In it itself is the life, is the blessing of life, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that's what he does. So the Apostle Paul in our reading, he addresses a church in Corinth. But before we go that, let's do some background information. In chapter 8, Paul actually starts off talking about a church in Macedonia. He addresses the church in Corinth by telling them about the church in Macedonia. And he uses the word grace about seven times here. Verse 1, 4, 6, 8, 9, 16, and 19. Because the truth is, the church in Macedonia wasn't rich. The truth about the church in Macedonia is they were all living in extreme poverty. Now, I know you guys are thinking, man, what do I have to give? Man, I don't know what this giving looks like. I don't have money, or I don't have finances, or I don't have wealth. I mean, after all, we're just high school students. But the thing that I'm talking about today is not necessarily about financial giving or necessarily about money. Because, like I was saying, the churches in Macedonia had nothing. They were living through very hard economic times. You guys might not remember, but we had a recession maybe about 8 or 9 years ago. You guys remember that? How hard it was to just even pay your mortgage or pay some bills. I mean, I don't know if you guys recognize that, but I know our parents went through that. I went through that. They were all living in deep poverty. They were so deep in their poorness, Paul says that he didn't ask for offering. Because normally every church that he went to, he asked for some kind of offering so that they could give back to the church in Jerusalem because they were being persecuted there, right? But Paul knew that they couldn't afford it. And the Bible says it this way. In a sense, they embarrassed Paul because literally the Bible says that they were begging for that opportunity to be a part of that giving, to be a part of that project. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says, "For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord, begging us with much entreaty for the favor of participation in support of the saints." In other words, they saw a great need and they didn't want to be left out of it. They were so moved by the Holy Spirit, they insisted that, no, even though we don't have anything, I want to be a part of this support. So what is this all about? The gift is all about you. How did they do it? How did they give? And how can you give? Well, in verse 5 of chapter 8 says, "They gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." See, that's where stewardship always begins. Understanding that God gave it to us. As God gave it to us, we give it back to the Lord as the scripture teaches us. In other words, they had this really deep, intimate relationship with God. They understood that they were being saved by grace. Jesus just walked the earth a little while before that, and they were one of the very first people to hear about God's grace in Jesus Christ. And as they understood what God gave them, they gave themselves to God. In other words, they developed this deep, deep relationship with Him. Even though they couldn't have the finances, even though they didn't have the support, they gave. They gave so much. You know, I'm reminded of the people when Jesus was standing in front of the Pharisees and they were giving alms in the temple. And then there was this rich guy and he gave all his money and he gave, 10%. And he said, "Oh God, look at me. I'm so blessed. Thank you, God, for letting me have all this money and that I can give this money to them." Right? And then there was this poor woman, a widower, who had her last penny. Penny, you can't buy anything anyway. But it was the last of what she had. And she cried, "Lord, I don't have much to give. I literally have nothing to give you, but I give to you what I have." And to the very last penny. And then the question was asked, who gave more? Was it the person who gave the 10,000 or was it the person that gave the one penny? And it always came back to the lady because the other person gave out of abundance. She gave out of faith. And that's what it's all about. These Macedonians, they gave out of faith. They understood that because Jesus had died for them on the cross and the love that they received, the best way to reciprocate that or understand that kind of love is to show it back. These Macedonians, Paul says, were the example of those who give by the principle of grace. Out of the love of the Lord. Out of the love of the Lord, they gave all that they could possibly give. In fact, the Bible says beyond their ability, they gave in their own accord. Now, financially speaking, this probably wasn't a lot of money. But could you imagine as Paul was taking these alms and seeing these really poor people giving and giving and giving and like literally, I would imagine the total amount still wasn't great. But that amount of faith to say, "God, I trust you in my finances. God, I trust you. I don't know where my future is going. This money means a lot to my future. But God, I trust you and I give it to you." That's what happened. That's how we can do it. We can figure out how we can give to God by giving ourselves to God. The Bible says that these Macedonian believers were the examples for those who were rich in Corinth. This was the example. This was the example by living and giving by grace. Verse 9 says it this way, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor." They followed the example of Jesus Christ, coming from wealth, much, much wealth in the heavenly realms, became poor as being born in a manger. You know, in heaven, they talk about how he's like the center and he's all made out of gold and everyone worships him and he's this brilliant light. He went from that to being born in a food trough. Do you understand what God has done? And they understood that sacrifice, that God became man and took on the and took on all of earth's sins. And this is exactly what he's trying to teach these people in Corinth from chapter 8 to chapter 9. He's saying, since God owns it all, he can do whatever he wants with it. But he wants us to handle this thing, to show that God is in us and that God loves us. And this is why the Macedonians gave beyond their means. They gave sacrificially. They had, because they understood that God had given sacrificially. So my challenge to you today is, what are you guys doing to give to God? Are you giving your time? Are you getting into his word? Are you just doing the bare minimum of just receiving his blessings? Or do you see yourselves being moved into action? Because that's what the challenge he gave to the Corinthians. He says, in similar fashions as the Macedonians gave, and as God gave, you should give. Because out of that comes great, great joy. Paul reminded them that as they pledged to give, because this is actually what he's talking to them about in chapter 8, verses 10 to 24. He talks about they gave a pledge to give to Jerusalem missionary offering. A year has passed by, and nothing was fulfilled in that promise. What have you offered to God and promised to him and not have fulfilled? They were caught up with bickering with one another and fighting each other. There were divisions in the body, and they got sidetracked. They lost their spiritual gifts. Some of them went into immorality. Some of them went into drunkenness. And instead of putting their eyes on Jesus Christ, they put into their carnal, lustful lives here on earth. And they, not a single one, fulfilled their promise that they gave to God. So he, in this part, says he's encouraging them to give according to their ability, just as the Macedonians church did. In essence, Paul says, this is the standard of grace and love. Because God has given you, give as he has given. Because here's the truth, my brothers and sisters. Here's the truth about faith, about missions. Anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, there's no way we can overwork ourselves in this way. Because everything we possess spiritually, everything we possess spiritually, including our salvation, we owe it to someone else. Because here's the truth. There are no self-made Christians. There are no self-made Christians. Someone invested into you. Someone invested to you. Here's the thing. Every day in of our lives, we have all these pledges that we make. What am I talking about? For example, if you turn on the lights in your house, right? You expect electricity to go on, right? And the utility company expect you to pay that bill. I mean, except if you live in California and it's fire season. You can pay your bills and your lights still not come on. Or what about when you turn on your cell phone and there's power in it? Well, every time you use your cell phone, you expect to have data, you expect a phone call to go through, right? And same thing, there's an expectation or a principle where if you use our services every month, we're going to pay you a certain amount of money. Same thing with using the toilet, right? You do your business, I know this to be true, because if ever that flusher stops working and you get a backup, oh goodness, right? But there's this great expectation to use the bathroom, and if you press that button, whoosh, your business will go away. Right? There's all these expectations. There's all these pledges. Whether utility companies, for example, if even our parents, you know, as we get older, you know, you guys are going to buy cars. You guys are going to buy a home. Well, there's this pledge that you make, right? I'm going to pay. You get to live here. You get to use this car, but you have to make payments every month to make sure that that happens. This is how we do it. But yet, even with all these pledges and everything that has happened, we forget the biggest pledge that God has made to us. He says, I love you, I care for you, I give you my life, so I in turn expect you to do something else. Talk about me. Tell people about me. This is what it means by giving yourself to God. Because here's the truth. God is not interested in what you don't have. He's interested in everything that you have in your heart. Everything that he provides for you. Verse 12 says it this way. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what man has. Not according to what he doesn't have. Because God gives you in abundance. God gives you in abundance. Is there a need in your life that has not been met? Is there a need that God has not met? The Apostle Paul went on to illustrate God's provisions by reminding them of the manna that was in the wilderness. The Israelites went out every morning and gathered the manna for one day. And if they got too greedy, what happened? If they collected too much, what would happen to the manna? It would turn rotten the next day. In other words, God is saying, depend on me for every single need. Depend on me for everything. That's the way God planned it. This is what God calls from us, to trust him in every aspect. To know that God gives us enough so that we can give to others enough. If one person is old, if another person is sick, if there is need, there should be no one amongst us that should feel left out. Look to your brother on the right, to your sister on the left, and say, hey, I love you. Okay, sorry. You know what I'm saying. Say, I love you. And if there is anyone amongst us that you know, okay, I get it, we want to be private. We don't have to put our dirty laundry, as they say, for everyone to see. But that's why these prayer boxes and these prayer requests are so important. Because this is what connects us. This is how we give each other to each other. By saying, I love you so much that I'm going to pray for you. That's the very least we can do. Because once again, God is not interested in what you don't have. God is interested in every single blessing he has already given to you. God gives us, and he gives us these opportunities to earn much, much more. This is what it's about. Because at the end of all of this, at the end of chapter 8, the way Paul says it, like he says, I'm proud of you. He says, I am proud of those Macedonians. And in the verses opening chapter 9, he says, I know your readiness, of which I will boast to you to the Macedonians, namely the church in Achaia, right? And as that day prepared since last year, your zeal to stir it up in most of them. In verse 2, he goes on, I have sent the brethren that are boasting about you may not be empty in that case. As I was saying, you may be prepared. Paul doesn't want them to be ashamed when men arrive to take the offering to Jerusalem. So he's warning the church in Corinth, say, hey, you made a promise to God. You made a promise to God. To give this to this bountiful gift. In verse 5, this bountiful gift. To give freely, spontaneously. And that's the joy everyone feels, or every pastor feels, when they see the church respond to God's love in such a way that they serve one another. And that leads to our Bible verses today. And to my very first point. Really long introduction. It's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. Can we say attitude of gratitude? Try it again. Attitude of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude. Amen. Because here's what the Bible says. Right? And this can be even a life principle for some of us. The Bible says, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly.
And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Do you know what that means? Some of us are interested in only making this much. When God says, look, I can make you make this much. So what is the point of this? Invest into a lot of people. Invest into a lot of people. Because the more you invest, because here's the thing. Not only do you plant seeds, as the Bible says, those who he who sows in greatness, right, also gives in greatness. Verse 10, now he who supplies the seeds to the sower and the bread and food will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge this harvest of your righteousness. In other words, the more you give, the more you get. Say it with me. The more I give, the more I get. This is this thing with God. He's saying live by this principle. This is almost a law of life. Because if you sow sparingly, you're going to just have just enough. But if you sow bountifully, like you put plenty seeds all over the place, like, you know, could you imagine a farmer saying, oh, I'm only going to put 10 seeds in the ground. Well, maybe you get to eat. Maybe he just gets to eat, not his family, right? But what about the farmer who spreads 1,000 seeds? Wouldn't you imagine that his harvest is going to be much more? And that's what it's about. Whether you are farming or dealing with relationship, this principle is true. It's true materially. It's true spiritually. This is what God wants from us. Now keep this in principle in mind. Verse 7, let each one do as he has proposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under consumption, because God loves a cheerful giver. Go ahead and do as the sense God learning, leading you, since he has blessed you bountifully, and go ahead and propose to your heart. Follow through with your pledge. Now, I want to share with you about my seminary education. I was really blessed. I want to share about one of my aunties. She told me to call her aunt. I just kind of feel weird because actually she was... long story. She was actually at University of Hawaii when my aunt was going to school there before she transferred to the University of Virginia. That's where the two met. And what I'm talking about is this lady. She's uber, uber rich. In Hawaii, she owns Kobayashi Construction, which was one of the biggest construction companies out there. So this woman really... She thinks totally differently. Because when I was going to church, I didn't really know how we got. I just knew that in Milpitas, we had 3 city blocks. That was our church. It was really, really big. And we had 3 separate buildings, a youth building, a general building, and another building that wasn't being used. It was really huge. Now they sold it, and it became all... new housing. It's right off of Dixon Landing Road. I don't know if you know 880. Yeah, so there was a Korean church. It's called Living Word Fellowship. It was there maybe 10 years. Anyway, so I didn't realize how we got the church. I just knew I was one of the first pastors there. And there was this lady who came up to me and she goes, Howard, let's go have lunch one day. I said, okay. And then she took me to Fremont. I think it's called Pacific Catch, and she's like, yeah, I tried the fish, and and I was scared because there was no price, it just said market price. She's like, order whatever you want. And I said, oh, I don't know, I feel guilty. Because I know it's going to be like $40 or $50 a meal. Like, whenever you see market prices, it's expensive. They're saying, I'm not going to tell you how much it is. So anyway, she tells me, come here and eat. And this is what blew my mind. She goes, tell me what you want to do. And I said, okay, well, I'm in seminary school right now, and because I'm in seminary school, I actually want to serve at a church. She's like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. You're telling me how. I don't want to know how. Like, I want to know what. What do you want to do? And to me, I can't think like that because there's a process, right? I cannot just go to the dream because I have to figure out every step through the dream. She didn't care about that. I'm just saying she was really, really rich. to not care about the how, but just the what. And then long story short, she answered a lot of prayers. She actually gave a lot to my seminary education. Not only was I blessed by having a full scholarship that I qualified for Hawaii, it wasn't because of academics. And that's why I know God really wanted me to go to seminary school, because finances was number one, and he just ripped that. Like, when I went to seminary, I had all these lists on why I couldn't go and, like, two reasons why I should go. And God, and then as I crossed this slide out, God put more stuff on this side. I was like, okay, God, I'll go to seminary school. But one of these reasons was this lady, and her name is Annie. And she gave not only financially to me, anytime there was any specific need. So I got money for books and housing and all these things. But any other need that was ministry or anything, she's like, don't go through the church, come through me, and I'll finance it. And she really believed in what God was doing in me and what God was doing through her. But through all of these times, there was never a question, oh, man, you know, I guess I have to give. Or there was no question. There was no hesitation. It was like, God has led me to this place where I can give, so I want to give. She bought that whole property. This is what I found out later on. After the church split and all these things, she had to sell the property, but she was actually looking for a pastor to come in. But it never worked out. But she never once complained, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do that. She was one of the very first people in church at 5:30 in the morning, prayer meeting, Monday through Friday. And on Saturday, we started at 6:30 in the morning. But she was there the whole time, praying and serving. God loves the cheerful giver. I'm not saying we're all rich and we can give and give and give, but we all have time. We all have our heart. We all have a spirit, and we can all give it to God. So whenever there's a need in the church, even if we can't prepare financially, we can definitely pray about that. Bring it before God, because there's spiritual healing and spiritual ministry that happens through prayer. Don't give grudgingly. Don't give under compulsion, but let it be an overflow from your heart. It's all about attitude. God loves that cheerful giver. You know, here's the funny thing. You know, the translation for cheerful is hilarious. You know what we get the word from, hilarious? Hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. He desires our giving to come from the heart that is cheerful, that is joyous, that is a spirit of, I'm ready to do anything. Are you guys ready to do anything for God? Is there a readiness in your heart to give? So, one of my seminary professors, Dr. Ganey, I love him. He's a black orator, African-American gentleman. And when he preaches, it's all authority. I remember one time he was preaching on giving. And there was this one person. So he's actually the senior pastor at, what city is that? Right underneath Sacramento. I can't remember. Not Sacramento. Vacaville. So First Baptist Church at Vacaville. He's the senior pastor there. And he says there was this one lady who didn't have much. Literally didn't have much. She was living on Social Security. She was living on government funds. And then she was in an old folks home in a really rough part of the neighborhood. You know, and she really didn't have much. But every week, you know, whatever she had at the end of the week, because, you know, you get a weekly check from Social Security, she would write that amount. She would literally get her checkbook out. We don't use checkbooks anymore, but he used to tell me the story of how at the end of the week, at Sunday, because she knew Monday the next day she would get another check. So even if it was 25 cents, she would write a check for 25 cents. Sometimes she was blessed, she could put $5 in there. And he used her as an example of that cheerful giver. To the very last penny she has. We don't worry about these kinds of things because mom and dad just tend to do well for us. But this is what I'm saying. This is the giving. Dr. Ganey said, yeah, this woman. And I kept pleading with her, please, don't give the church your last literally 5-cent check. Right? 0.05 dollar sign. To the last penny, giving that. It's all about attitude, which leads me to the last point. God's promise to grace to the givers. Verse 8 through 9. God is able to make all grace abound to you, that while always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed, as it is written. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness abides forever. Who provides for you guys, brothers and sisters? Who provides for you? God does, amen. And does he provide little? Or does he provide abundantly? Amen. The Bible says all sufficient in everything. When God gives you, there's nothing that is lacking. The believer who has divine grace, right, is self-sufficient because God has given them everything. They're competent to meet all needs, all demands, because God has given us generously. God gives us in abundance, so every believer is sufficient. That means you can live your life the way God calls you to do. There's nothing lacking in that. There's no God, oh man, if you give me this job. Oh God, if you let me have an A in this class. Oh God, if you let me have this boyfriend. Okay, boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, maybe not so much now. But this is what it means. In everything, God has given you an abundance. Which goes back to chapter 8, verse 9. God makes us exceedingly rich so we can make others rich. This is what it's all about. God gives you so that you can give to others. God gives you so you can give to others. God gives you so you can give to others. Let me ask you, what has God tugged on your heart? What has God given to you that says, hey, I need to give to someone else? Because those are the exact times where God is instilling these divine appointments into our hearts, into our lives. Don't miss it. It's easy to have a feeling one second, oh, I care for them, and quickly forget about it. It's easy to say, oh man, I know this person is hurting and I'll pray for them. And if you don't actually take the time to pray for them, it's gone. You forget about it. That's why we're so blessed that Auntie Alice does this for our prayer meetings. Every single prayer request, personal stuff, we don't put it out. But she writes it all down. So we actually have a real log, day by day log, or week by week log of what your prayer requests are, where the church's prayer requests are, and how these things, God fulfills them. God gives us in abundance. Bible says in verse 10 through 11, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Do you believe that God gives you so that you can give to others? Do you trust that God is literally enriching you, right? He's giving you an abundance of these blessings so that it can produce thanksgiving to God? Because that's what it's all about. Because as you give, the people not only see your generous heart, and if you tell them, I'm doing this because God has called me to do it, you know who gets the glory? God does. God blesses abundantly so that we can bless others abundantly. Have you ever had the privilege of seeing what you give and produce God thanksgiving to God? Have you? Because all of you guys should feel responsible for someone Who's the one person that we pray for every week? Who is the one person that we send money to? $100, which is not much in our money, but makes an incredible difference in someone else's life. Who do we do that to? Maribel. That is an act of worship, my friends. Because when we give, it shouldn't be, oh, just a thought. It has to lead to action. We have that privilege to give. You guys have already been living that out. You guys have been using your gifts and your prayers and your donations so that God can bless all these people. And you know why I know this is true? Because every time we read a letter that she writes to us, I thank God for this. I thank God for that. God is letting you guys be a part of that blessing. He has given that gift to you, that generous heart to you, so you can touch the lives of other people for all eternity. He wants your giving to be a blessing. He wants your giving to be a blessing. You know, as a pastor, I'm blessed because I get to see a lot of these things unfold. I pray a lot, and I pray for our coworkers. I pray for you guys. And not all the time I get to see instant change, okay, like, or God moving and changing us. But I'm always able to see it every once in a while, okay? I'm always able to see it. Maybe not instantly, but I'm always able to see it, and I remember. You know, when you work with certain people, sometimes they can rub you the wrong way, or you rub someone the wrong way, and it becomes challenging, right? And even in friendships, in any of your relationships, it can be challenging in that way. But when those instances happen and you pray to God and say, God, can you help me in this, 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 and you see it come to fruition, that's how you know God is real. So my challenge to you is to take God to task. If there is someone in your life that you need to pray about, if there is a Thanksgiving bone in you because of the blessing that you have received, give it to God and see how that changes your life. Changes the lives of others. Because Bible says that God has given us exceedingly rich. God has given us so much that he became a pauper. Bible says he was born in a manger. Why? So that we can own that richness. That's what the Lord's intention was. That he gives us so that we can be his stewards. May the Lord bless us spiritually, and may the Lord bless us so that we can continue to bless others. Pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word and love. We thank you, Father, for this season of Thanksgiving, Lord, that we truly may have this attitude of gratitude. God, may we understand that the blessings you give us, Father, in this season should be for all seasons, Lord, that you have given us so that we can be a blessing to others. We thank you for the abundance you give us through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the mercy and salvation that is poured out for us. And Father, that we would continue to seek you, Lord, that we would continue to seek your grace, for that's the time when we recognize how much we have been given. God, may you bless us, may you keep us, and may you give us this attitude of gratitude in this season of Thanksgiving. We thank you that you are the source of all these blessings. We thank you, Father, that it is through your love and Son, Jesus Christ, that we know mercy, we know grace. We thank you, Father, and I pray that we be graceful to each other. We love you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name.